Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few moments, please stay with me. It's going to be some time of motivation, some inspiration, some education, all done with no manipulation. That's our standard line. We say it every time we meet. No manipulation, because we really don't have hidden agendas. We're not here trying to build up an organization. We're not trying to solicit money. We're not trying to get you to join anything. All we are seeking to do is to give you accurate information. And hopefully that information will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life. If you want to orient and adjust to the plan, if you wish to do that, it's your privilege. You have the freedom. You have the right to orient and adjust to any plan. It's your life. You have one shot at it. But I'm here to tell you that there's a wonderful way to live, that there's a way to live without stress in your life, that there's a way to live free of worry. There's a way to live free of bitterness and hatred, free of unhappiness, and it's called the Christian life. It's an amazing lifestyle. It's the lifestyle that Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, our Lord, it's the lifestyle that He pioneered and gave to us. And we must learn it. We must understand it. That's why Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And there's the word, learn of me. It doesn't happen overnight. We have to learn the Word of God. We have to learn the mind of Christ. And that's exactly what we have. The Bible is called the mind of Christ. And when you appropriate that mind, when we learn the mind of Christ, then we can live a Christ-like life. A lot of people misassociate that with emotions, and they try to have an emotional identification with Jesus Christ our Lord. And, you know, emotions are wonderful when they're used in the right place. But we are not designed to make decisions based on emotion. We're designed to make decisions based on content. Emotions cannot think. They only react. But content can think. And if you have no content, then you cannot think. So remember that. You are designed to make decisions based on content in your soul. And there's an interesting verse we want to study today. In my opinion, one of the most powerful verses in the Bible, a verse that has meant so much to me as I heard my very own pastor quote it so many times. And that verse comes from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We don't really know who wrote Hebrews. Some say Apollos and some say Paul. I don't know. But I love what this verse says. This verse says, "The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic or a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." My pastor quotes that today, every Sunday. The one before him quoted it every Sunday. It's a fabulous verse. And so I'd like to break this verse down for you today and take a look at it. This verse is usually quoted along with, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth." Usually these two verses are quoted together. So today, if you'll listen to me, let's take a look at Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is alive and powerful. We start off with the Word of God, the Logos Hotheos. The Word of God is a reference to the Bible, the canon of Scripture. It can be a reference to Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, because He's called the Word. In John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and without the Word, nothing was made." and yet Jesus Christ is the Word. But here we're talking about the printed Word, not the living Word, the printed Word. It's an amazing thing that God has done, is God has put into our hands His thoughts in print. Now, if you'll think about that for a minute, that's rather amazing. You want to know God? I mean, if you went out at night on a beautiful, bright, moonlit night and you sat in the middle of the desert and you cried out, "Oh God, reveal yourself to me. Let me see you, God." Well, that would never happen because He has already revealed Himself to us in the canon of Scripture or the Bible. This is God. The Word of God is alive and powerful. You have a Bible, and whether or not you realize it, it is God's living Word to you. If we went into what happened so that we could have a Bible in our hands, it would really amaze you. It might amaze you how God did all of this, and how the Old Testament and the Torah was written, and now the New Testament and the minor and major prophets put together with it. And here we have a canon of Scripture, 66 books of the Bible, all the Word of God, all designed for God to speak to you. And that's what this is about. So remember this, you can never form a battle line in your soul until you have a power line in your soul first. And the power line is the Word of God. Now, the reason I made that statement is this is the Flotline. That's the name of our radio show. And Flotline stands for a forward line of troops. We use a military analogy to explain how the Christian life works. And the battle line is in our soul, and that is 10 unique problem-solving devices. These 10 unique problem-solving devices are found in the Word of God. Everything that I tell you, everything that I verify for you, is found in the Word of God. And so that's the power line. Without the power line, there can never be a battle line. Without the power line, there would be no 10 problem-solving devices. Where do you think we get them from? We get them from the Bible. We don't get them out of the air. We don't get them through some mystical approach from some being that we don't even know. We get them from the Bible. These 10 unique problem-solving devices called the Flotline of your soul are age-old biblical principles that were printed, recorded, and distributed in the Bible many, many years ago. So if you develop a power line, that is, if you develop a knowledge of the Bible, that is the solution to grief in your life. That is the solution to sorrow in your life. That is the solution to adversity in your life. And that is what gives you capacity for blessing and the capacity to live life at its fullest. In every disaster, in every test, the Word of God is your strength. It's your power. But if you don't learn it, you can't use it. That's why you hear me constantly say, you need a qualified pastor. You need to sit under a qualified pastor, a man who is trained in the original languages, a man who has dedicated himself to studying and teaching the Bible, not a cruise ship director that's there to entertain you and to make sure that you have a happy Christian experience while you're on this planet. There are pastors that fulfill that role, but you need a pastor that will love you and demonstrate that love to you by the fact that he will study faithfully, teach faithfully, and present the truth to you without any sugarcoating. That's the kind of man we need. Those are the kind of men we need in pulpits across America, men that will take us to the Bible. That's where our strength comes from. It's the power source. It's the power line. And if we're going to have a battle line in our soul, if we're going to have those 10 unique problem-solving devices, then you must understand this. So let's go through this passage now. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Alive and powerful. The word alive is the Greek word zao. It means that the Word of God, or the Bible, is active and endless in the kingdom of God. Do you know when this world is over that the Bible will still exist? It might not exist in the form we're used to seeing, but the Word of God has been recorded for eternity. In heaven, the Word of God will be there, not only in the person of Jesus Christ, but as well in the pages of the recorded scriptures. There will be scriptures in heaven. When this is all over, they're not going to destroy the Bible. It's going to endure. It is alive, and it is powerful. The word powerful from the Greek New Testament, and you hear me refer to these words like zao, the Greek word for alive, and in our case, the Greek word for powerful. We get an English word, energy, from that. That word in ergase means active or at work. When the Bible is taught, when it is clearly presented, it is full of energy, it's active, and it's at work. What does it do? Well, we're going to see that as we read through this passage. But it is the only thing that is actively at work inside your soul. The invisible power of the Word of God, when taken by means of the Holy Spirit, can cut and whittle and train and mold and shape you into the image of Jesus Christ. He is our template, and we are to be cut into His image. And that's why Jesus said, when I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and He will guide you, lead you, teach you in all things. But what does He teach? He teaches God's Word. And how does He do it? By means of qualified pastors, men who have the spiritual gift. In Ephesians 4, they have been given a gift, and that gift is the same gift as someone's been given a gift of evangelism, or someone's been given a gift of giving, or someone's been has the gift of helps, or someone has the gift of mercy. These are spiritual gifts bestowed by God the Holy Spirit. And if a man has the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, that does not mean he's more spiritual than you. That does not mean he's better than you. That means that's his gift. And because of that, he is going to have to submit his life to a life of studying and teaching the Bible. Many men have, this gift and are not willing to submit to a life of studying and teaching the Bible. I've seen it happen. They have other agendas. They have other plans. They get locked into something else, and they cannot walk away from it. Thus, maybe at the end of their life, in the latter days, they come back and say, well, now I'm ready to be a pastor, now that I'm financially secure or whatever. They miss the most important thing, and that's watching God provide way above what they ever desired, way above what they ever thought they could have, way above everything. If you'll seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6 says, in His righteousness, He'll add everything to it. It's amazing what He does. Men who have this gift, this is a struggle because men don't want to do it. Sometimes in churches they have people that say, I've felt a call to the mission field, or I've felt a call to the pastorate, and that's fine. Maybe that's true, maybe that's not true. But if they feel a call, that means that God has given them a communication gift, and by means of the filling of God the Holy Spirit, and by learning Scripture, they're able to exercise that gift efficiently. I have been in the ministry now for over 45 years. I never felt God call me. I never knew God was calling me. but I knew that I had a gift. I knew I had an ability. I knew I had a hunger to learn. And I knew that as the days went by, God shaped me, God molded me, and I was along for the ride. That's all it was. And here I am, still going today. This may be true of you too. If you're a man, you may have this gift. And it's an amazing, amazing gift. So the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. That word, two-edged sword, is the Greek word makaira. It's the Roman sword. It's the 2-foot-long, 24-inch-long, double-edged makaira sword of which the Romans conquered the world. It was the atom bomb of their generation. And when they fought side by side or back to back or shoulder to shoulder, that weapon was an impenetrable force. And God's word is compared to that weapon by the writer in this passage. He compares God's word to a makaira, and it is an instrument used by God the Holy Spirit to cut, to shape, and to mold and to form us. So when we hear the true and accurate teaching of the Bible, it cuts you, it shapes you, it molds you, it forms you. It is the Word of God. Ephesians 6:17 says this, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When you fight in God's army, your weapon is the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. And when you learn the Word of God, there are techniques to using it. Number one, the faith rest drill. This is problem solving number 3 in the flat line on your soul, the faith rest drill. The faith rest drill requires you to stand behind the promises and the principles taught in the Bible. And it is the Word of God. It is your shield. It is your protector. It is the very thing that can go inside of you and dissect you. This passage goes on to say, "The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing." Now it's going into me. Now it's going into you. Piercing. It means to penetrate, to go into. Diekneomai is the Greek word. Diekneomai. It penetrates us. It goes into us. When we hear it taught, the Word of God divides asunder. Listen to the verse. "The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." It pierces. It gets through the phony, fake facade that you put up. You know, go to church and look really sweet, look really great, look like you're really something that you're not. Listen, God is not concerned with your image nor your style. God is concerned with what you think. And that's why the Bible says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is." And so if God wants to check you out, he's going to check out what you're thinking, not what you look like. And this is how he does it. When you hear the Word of God, it penetrates into your soul and divides asunder. Marismas in the Greek New Testament. It separates. It divides asunder. It cuts the veil between the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. The soul. You have a soul. That's called in the Bible the psuche. And you have a spirit. That's called in the Bible the pneuma. Now listen carefully. Your soul has mentality. Your soul has volition. Your soul has consciousness. Your soul has self-consciousness. You can think, you can logic, you can reason, you can identify, and you can choose. That's the way God made you. He gave you a soul, and it is called the breath of life. When any baby is born, the breath of life enters into them, the living soul. A baby is a living soul, and the vital force which animates the body, the soul, is not dissolved by death. When a person dies, his soul does not die. That soul lives forever. And he also has a spirit. You have a spirit. Now, here's the interesting thing. Spiritual death means you don't have a spirit. So listen carefully. When you're born into this world, you have a body. There's no doubt about that. And you have a soul. There's no doubt about that. But without Christ, you're spiritually dead. So you do not have a human spirit. The human spirit is where you have fellowship with God. And so in order to have fellowship with God, you have to be born again. Born again spiritually. Your human spirit died the moment you were born, because that's the moment you were identified with Adam's original sin. That's why the Bible says, for by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And now all have died. All of us, all have died because we've come short of the glory of God. We're all identified with Adam's original sin, death by sin. We're born spiritually dead, physically alive, spiritually dead. You want to go to heaven? You got to have a spiritual birthday. You're born spiritually alive when you believe in Christ, when you're born again. That's a second birthday, but it's a spiritual birthday. And you can read about it in John chapter 3. You can see how Nicodemus misunderstood that, and yet our Lord explained it so clearly to him. Here's a thought I want to leave you. You're either going to be born twice, or you're going to die twice. Born the first time physically. Born the second time spiritually. Die the first time physically. Die the second time, cast into the lake of fire. It's called, in the book of Revelation, the second death. So if you're born once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you're going to die once. To be absent from the body is to be face to face with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering. And that it all comes because you had a spiritual birth, because you put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So as this is written, it's written to a Christian who has a soul and a spirit. That's you if you believed in Christ. You have a psuche and you have a pneuma. The spirit is that invisible, immortal, eternal part of your essence. It will go with you into heaven. This is where we have fellowship with God, the Holy Spirit, by means of the human spirit. That's how it works. And this verse goes on to say, the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It is a discerner. Kritikos is the Greek word, and it means, kritikos means that it's skilled in judging. In other words, the Word of God can, let's see how I want to put this to you. The Word of God can reveal what you're thinking and reveal your motives to why you're thinking it, the desires of what you want. Listen, sometimes you're going to sin, and you may get frustrated with yourself, and you may say, I wish I hadn't have done that. God knows the desires of your heart. Now, if you're trying to pull the wool over God's eyes and you're sinning and you know you're sinning and you're saying, I hope God doesn't find out, you see, that's the wrong intent. You're trying to cover it up, as David did when David in 2 Samuel, when David had Uriah the Hittite murdered and took his wife Bathsheba. He tried to cover it up, but God revealed it through Nathan the prophet. You can't cover it up. And so here is where the Holy Spirit reveals our thoughts. He knows what we're thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. The Greek word for our thoughts is enthumethes. 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 He knows what we're thinking. And ennoia is the word for intents. Ennoia, our motivations, our feelings. In other words, why did you do something? See, God can read your mind. God can look into your brain and see just what you're thinking. And every time you do something, it starts with a thought. And that thought moves to an attitude. That attitude moves to an action. God can see your thoughts. God can discern your attitude. And certainly everyone else, along with God, can see your actions. So the Bible is alive and powerful. It is an amazing thing. And in the hands of a man who has the gift of pastor teacher and empowered by means of God the Holy Spirit, it is a revealer of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. It divides the soul and the spirit, and it cuts us apart. It reveals things to us through our marrow, the joints and the marrow. That's the very life of the bone. And the Word of God gives us our very life. There's so much more to say about this. And it's just a 30-minute show with a 30-minute lesson. But if you're listening, if you're learning, there's a lot more to learn. Feel free to contact me if you have a question anytime. And be sure and ask for the book, Christian Problem Solving. They're free. And it gives you those 10 problem-solving devices. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.